Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
News breaking in the world of college football. You just heard Mike Conte say it. The Big Ten Conference will be a conference-only conference when it comes to its football schedule for this upcoming fall. And it's, I guess, apropos and fortunate that we have a chance to talk to one of the best college football writers out there, Pat Forty, now. The waitfor.com hotline here on Dukes and Bell. Willie P. in for Carl on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So, Pat, beg us your pardon for asking you to react on the fly, but what is your reaction initially to this breaking news?
Has the league officially announced it?
Has not. It's still reported from the Athletics, so not official as of yet.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I'd like to get a full reporting from the conference for sure, but I have heard some rumblings of that earlier today, and I think this is the next step in basically the gradual deconstruction of the season. Maybe the pieces get put back together later. Maybe conference only works, but I have a feeling this is kind of also kicking the can down the road towards playing in the spring, if we're playing at all.
It's a great article yesterday, guys, with Ross Dellinger and our buddy Pat Forty talking about we're definitely heading the wrong way as virus case spikes hurdles to a college football season mount. This before we heard the Big Ten news, the Ohio State basically stopping all work on campus. You mentioned the article, what's going on with the Ivy League. So, Pat, again, we're trying to be glass half full, but it just seems like 18 to 20-year-old kids not in a bubble and the vagaries of the virus. Is it just a pipe dream now that we're going to have college football in the fall?
Yeah, I think it is. I think that the June and the first week of July were very bad for college football. I think in late May, early June, people were optimistic and believing that we could get a season in, maybe even a full season, maybe even have fans in the stands, and now that just looks increasingly unlikely, if not outright impossible. So, we're seeing the steps that are being taken, and perhaps within 10 days or 2 weeks, I think we're going to see everybody scaling back to some degree as far as what their plans are for college football. And it may, again, I think very well end up that we are trying to play in the spring. And that brings along its own complications, headaches, and difficulties. But I think they will try to play football because everybody wants it and everybody needs it financially. So they'll try. It's just a question of when and how much.
Again, I'm not necessarily asking a question on a fact. I'm just saying as far as the rumblings have been concerned here, because we're wondering, Pat, whether or not a conference-only schedule in these schools will mean only an 8 or 9-game schedule. What are the things you've heard from the various conference commissioners about how they would structure a conference-only season if it does come to that?
Yeah, I think that it would be something where, you start hoping you're going to play what you've usually played, which is 8 or 9. If it's possible to add, because you've got extra weeks in there, yeah, maybe you add another close, regionally proximitous kind of a conference game that wasn't already on the schedule. But I don't think anybody's going to be doing anything in terms of ambition. If you are the Big Ten, I don't think you're going to say, well, let's have Nebraska go to Rutgers or anything like that. It's going to be, can we add any other close matchups or not? And it may end up even being less. I think that the main thing that you're looking at here is buying a little extra time to see where things stand, and then limiting the scope of your team's travel. Those are going to be the two kind of, I think, benchmarks of this. And so, you know, is it 8? Is it 9? Is it 10? Is it 7? Is it 6? I think all those things are on the table. And if we go to the spring, I've been told it's pretty likely there is no way that people are doing more than 6 to 8, maybe 9 games.
It is Pat Forte with us, guys. The word coming down today that the it started with Ohio State, but now the Big Ten saying it's conference only. I mean, again, biggest thing first, obviously, is finding a vaccine or trying to find some way for our country to move on from this, because it seems like hot spots are popping up. Pat, do you think, though, I mean, just to bring it back to football for purely selfish reasons, you know, the College Football Playoff Committee, I mean, we may have teams. Do you think we're going to have some teams that are playing 9 games, some are playing 10? Do you think the SEC would pivot and go conference only, to Will's point?
Yeah, well, I think that it's likely that the SEC pivots to that or to the spring. You know, I think if anybody would be the most open to playing in the spring, it would probably be the SEC, because they've got almost all warm weather locations. And if you start in February, that's not really that big a problem. It's not like trying to start in February in Minneapolis or Madison, Wisconsin. You know, as far as would there be a uniform number? No, I don't think there's going to be. I think it's going to be whatever games you can play, and just kind of get in what you can, and just we'll pick up the pieces from there. I mean, anybody who's expecting anything like a uniform season, a quote-unquote fair playoff process, anything like that, it's a joke. I mean, first of all, I still think it's very unlikely that we're going to have a full season, and especially in the fall. But in the process of creating whatever season they can, it is just going to be trial, error, fit what you can, where you can, and see what happens.
From the concerns that have been shared to you, whether it's from conference commissioners and ADs, what is the biggest concern that they're giving you? Is it responsibility of students, testing, expense? Well, what is the biggest concern that they're telling you?
Yeah, the biggest concern is, you know, that people get seriously ill, and that, you know, things run through an entire team and then from one team to another, or from one campus to another throughout the entire campus, and people end up in the hospital, people end up dying. Young people have been relatively resilient to this, but people with a high body mass index, which would include offensive and defensive linemen, have been more susceptible to it. Older people, which could be coaches and support staff, have certainly been susceptible to it. And you can't contain it. You can't promise you can contain it. You can't guarantee to the families of these players that, yes, we can. Your son will be fine. There's no way you can guarantee that. You can give them a pledge to sign or a waiver or whatever. It doesn't matter. That's not going to stand up in a court of law, and I think everybody is very concerned. What happens if we put a guy out there, we say, you know, we bring you back to campus, we put you through workouts, and something bad happens related to this disease?
It is our man, Pat Forte, and normally we'd have some fun talking about horse racing or the fish he caught on his Twitter page, but it's all serious stuff today, man. The idea, like, I mean, Pat, UCLA students, this is earlier in the summer, were saying, look, it's a money game. We know that. I mean, Stanford is hemorrhaging money. There's some programs which are going to have to at least just drop a lot of, if not all, athletics. So what about, like, student, I'm not saying a mutiny, but what about, like, your students going, are you sure that you're providing all the safety protocols that are in place? You think we'll see more kids tapping out?
Sure. Oh, yeah, especially if we go to the spring. I mean, I don't think, look, if you are a top-level pro prospect, you are not playing a college spring season. Trevor Lawrence isn't playing. Justin Fields isn't playing. A lot of other guys are not playing because, theoretically, you know, the calendar will come close to resetting itself to normal in 2021, and that includes a draft next spring and a season for the NFL in 2021. And that's going to become the focus rather than, well, I'll risk it to play a few games here, you know, in some kind of half-baked season. So you're going to see, you know, whether it's whole teams or not, but you're going to certainly see star players opt out, I think, in a hurry.
I know that you're very close to the Stanford situation with your daughter swimming there, and I was happy to hear that the women's swimming was spared in those cuts. But what effect do you think on some of these Olympic sports and even the Group of Five football teams as far as a conference-only season from the Power Five scenario? How do you think that further affects not only the Olympic sports and the Power Fives, but Group of Five football?
Yeah, a huge impact. They need, you know, most schools need 12 games just to keep their necks above water. And now, you know, if you're looking at a reduced season and reduced number of home games, and, you know, if there are any games, it's going to be bad. that any de-escalation, I guess, of football will result in loss of revenue, and that will result in programs being cut, staff being slashed, wages being slashed, scholarships being reduced, everything. Everything would be on the table if we take a big serious hit in terms of football revenue.
And one of the things that Pat Forte joins us from Sports Illustrated pointed out in your article, I think a lot of college football fans feel, well, this school's got a $1 billion endowment. You cannot, it's like a bank you can't keep taking a loan from. They won't do that for athletics.
No. In most places, probably virtually all universities that have endowments have it specifically earmarked for certain purposes. I mean, people give money to endow, you know, a professor's chair in the music school or the engineering department. And some schools, and including Stanford, they endow football coaching positions too, but they don't have a bunch of money sitting there to say, well, in case we get in trouble in terms of the football, the athletic budget, here's a couple million or 12 million to take care of it. That money doesn't exist for those purposes. And you can't just go and say, yeah, we need that. And especially like if you're Stanford, it's a pretty serious academic institution. So the academic use of that money will absolutely come first, second, and third before athletics even gets a chance at it. So the endowment number is amazing. And it does make you wonder if maybe they should be using more of that money as opposed to just growing it in investments. But
right.
The way these things are written up, it's not accessible.
Pat, I'll take a stab on the way out at something completely unrelated because I know you reacted to it. The Zion Williamson affidavit, alleging that he was paid $400,000 by a Canadian marketing company. What does that do to the case against Duke?
Well, like everything else in this legal tussle, there's a lot of other stuff that goes along with this. And I would say that the contents of that affidavit are heavily under dispute. I've been talking to people all afternoon about it. And there's scammers involved all over this thing. So I'm not sure that I would take what Law 360 reported about the affidavit as gospel. I think there could be some real fraudulence to this thing.
Okay, because again, when you got the runners, as we've seen for some of these agents and all these things going on. Okay, so don't get 2 + 2 = 5. Hey, real quick, what do you think of the Belmont? I got like 30 seconds left. I mean, I know this is so weird to have everything backwards, as it were, but do we have a real Triple Crown winner here, you think, this year?
Very good horse. Does the law. Very good. You know, I still think that there are some other quality horses that could contest him in the, you know, in the Derby and the Preakness, and it's so far away. Right. You don't know who's going to be on top of their form in September and October. So, you know, it was weird being there. It was a very flat event, very eerie, very quiet, and kind of how sports are going to be for a while when we bring them back.
Right.
And how it will translate to the Derby and beyond, no idea.
Great to have you on, Pat. Sorry to make you tap dance there a little bit at the beginning, but hope you and yours still are well and stay safe.
All right, thanks, guys.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.